Welcome to HCS Talks. I'm your host, Superintendent of Hampton City Schools, Raymond Haynes. This is our second season of our Hampton City Schools podcast. It is designed to educate, inform, and hopefully entertain our community and beyond. We talk about a lot of different topics related to education, students, teachers, support staff, parents, programs and initiatives, community partnerships, and more. We also like to spotlight Hampton City Schools graduates and community members. So we hope you stay tuned and keep listening to HCS Talks. Today, I have the privilege to sit down with Mr. Dwight Stevenson, a legendary former NFL player and Hampton High School alum. So, Mr. Stevenson, thank you for being a guest on HCS Talks. I'm looking forward to our conversation and for the listening audience to learn more about you, your experiences as a Hampton City School student, and your many accomplishments over the years. But before we dive into our conversation, would you please introduce yourself to the listening audience?
Hello, everyone. I'm Dwight Stevenson, former Hampton High crabber. Now, once you're a crabber, you're always a crabber. And left Hampton High and went down to the University of Alabama and spent 4 years there. Had a great time, played some football there as well. And then from there, went down.
So wait a minute, sir. You played for Alabama too. I did not know that.
Oh yeah. I'm a road tie guy.
Big as playing for the Dolphins.
Yeah. They were perfect. The football programs that I played in, I mean, they were like a great start for me there at Hampton High. And then I've been, you know, the things that I learned there at Hampton High, I just kind of built on those things at the University of Alabama, playing for Coach Paul Bev Bryant. And then from there, going down to the Miami Dolphins again. They were building on what I learned before and learned and played there for the Miami Dolphins and played for the legendary coach, Don Shula. So as far as coaches and programs I played in, I feel three of the best to ever be involved with football.
Well, although you had three great coaches, you had the initiative and drive to make it work for you. So we certainly don't want you to sell yourself short in all accomplishments as well. So Alabama and then the Miami Dolphins, were there any other teams that were interested in you, or was it the Dolphins and you took it and ran with it?
Yeah. You know, when I came out in 1980, I was drafted into the pro football. And I was drafted by the Miami Dolphins. I was drafted in the second round. When I first went to the University of Alabama and having the opportunity to play there, you know, I never thought I would get drafted. I never thought I'd have the opportunity to play professional football. And so when it happened, it was one of those goals that I hadn't planned for, but I thank God for it. And I was ready to go. And I was, I wanted to do the best job I could do, you know, just don't get that opportunity every day. So I went there and try not to have any regrets and play as hard as I could every time I had a chance to. So it was I was drafted by the Dolphins in the second round. I really didn't have a choice as to where to go.
So the blessing, and you took advantage of the opportunity that was presented to you, and the rest was history for you.
Yeah.
So growing up in Hampton, what role do you feel the community played as well as your high school experience in shaping your path towards football?
You know, I brag about Hampton, the Hampton Roads area, Hampton in particular. I brag about that area. I think it's a great area to grow up in. I think it's has a lot of diversity there. It's stuff that you can do there that, you know, has a lot of variety of different things. You can go, I mean, you know, the farms are not far away. You know, the city is right there, the water and all the water things, sports and things that involve with being involved with water, shipping, the industry, the shipyard. I mean, it's a great area to grow up in. And the people that my mother and father, as well as the neighbors in my community, I thought it was really, they were really impactful on me. They taught me the meaning, my mother and father in particular, they taught me the meaning of hard work, the meaning of not quitting on situations. you know, and appreciating also what you have. I didn't have to look far for a good example. My mother and father were definitely great examples for me. And then I had some great brothers, wonderful brothers and sisters, and they also, four of them also went to Hampton High, and we all graduated. And then we had two that went to that other school on the other side of town. But we had a great time. It was a great community to grow up in. Then having an opportunity to go to Hampton High was a great opportunity. Sports was very, very important to that school and the people that went and also to the community. So it took a lot of pride in being a Hampton High Crabber. I really did.
Crabber pride still exists. So
it still exists. And but if we had a great time. It was a great community. I felt safe community. So it was a great place to grow up at.
Yes, sir. So let me ask you this. Did they have they had athletics at the junior high level too back then, right? Did you play junior high school?
Yeah. And also I played when I was coming up, I wasn't necessarily probably I was a pretty decent athlete. I mean, I could always do pretty much everything that everybody else could do and that sort of thing. So I can remember one time when I was like sixth grade and I went to Phoenix Elementary, and it was a great place to go to elementary school. They had a gymnasium there, which was open in the evenings. So that was also one of the ways that I was able to go over there and work on my skills and stuff and my athleticism. Playing basketball was something that I enjoyed every day. That's really what I wanted to do. So I played basketball when I was at Lindsay, and I started some on the JD. When it came to the varsity, I never really started, but I was on the team and I played, and I was able. It was all a team, so I was out there and trying to do the best that I could to help our team win. And then from there, basketball was something that I really enjoyed and wanted to play. And also when I went to Hampton High, I also played basketball there, the 10th and 11th grade. And that's where I was kind of found at. I think Coach Smith, he saw me on the basketball court, and he said, he talked to me a couple of times after like two games. And I told him, I said, I was going to play basketball. Football. And I was going to come out of there. And I think he didn't really necessarily believe me, but he encouraged me, and some of my other teammates encouraged me. And one of the guys that really, they helped me out, that's Kenny Gillum. And he's a great Hamptonian. He's just a great individual. And he encouraged me to go out there and give it a shot. And I did.
It worked out for you.
Excuse me?
It worked out for you, didn't it?
It worked out for me. It sure did.
So basketball was your first love, is what?
Correct.
Were you any good at it, or were you?
I thought I was okay, but believe me, I don't think I was any good at it. I was a guy that I was a rebounder. I wanted to get the rebounds and throw the outlet pass like Wes Unseld. He was a Washington Bullet. The
physicality
there.
Of it.
So what position
did you play in high school? Did you play the same position in high school, college, and the pros in football?
I did. I played center in high school as well as at the University of Alabama. And I tried a couple of other positions, but center was absolutely my best choice there.
So the University of Alabama recruited you?
Yes, yes. That's the long story short.
You're being very modest, sir. You were something special.
No, the University of Alabama, it was like probably two other guys that were on the team, Woodrow Wilson, who's the head coach there at Hampton High now, and Simon.
Oh, you played with him?
Oh, yeah. We were all on the same team. We came out of the class together, okay. Same class. And so Alabama, those guys brought a lot of recognition to the high school. And everybody wanted them. So when they came to recruit them, I think Coach Smith told them about me. And boy, I know they said, okay, yeah, that takes Dwight Stevenson too. And so they offered me a scholarship. And I was ready to go. Alabama was really the choice for me. I enjoyed.
So did Woodrow Wilson go to Alabama?
No, Woodrow Wilson. He had a lot of choices. Him right. and Simon Gupton, and they both went to North Carolina State.
Okay.
And then we had guys go to a lot of places. Kenny Gillen, like I said, my best friend, the guy that encouraged me and really got me out there on the football field. He went to the University of Richmond and, he did a great job there and started all 4 years there at the University of Richmond.
Wow. Do you all still keep in touch?
All the time. We do and stuff. I see everybody just about every time I come home, a group of us, Simon Gubbin, Woodrow Wilson, Kenny Gillen, Bobby Atkinson. We all kind of see one another when we're in Hampton together.
Nice, nice. Yeah. So, and I know you talked about this already, Mr. Stevenson, but were there any, if you want to elaborate, I guess, on Coach Smith, were there any specific coaches, teachers, or mentors at Hampton High who had a significant impact on your career or life?
At that age, you really are, I feel impressed, and people can make a real big impression on you and stuff. And one of the teachers that did at the time, and God bless her soul, she's passed now. Her name was Miss Bowen, but I liked her because she was practical. She would tell us that, she helped us I deal with things that were in real life situations and stuff. And she taught us about, self-confidence. And that's one thing I can remember her always doing that in class about certain things. And she was one of the teachers that was very impactful on me. And
Bowen?
Yes, Miss Bowen. Yes.
What did she teach?
She taught history that. Okay. Yes, yes. Right. And so I enjoyed her. And then, of course, like I say, Coach Smith, he was very influential on how I did there at Hampton High. And then we had, Bob Tyson. He was our offensive line coach. And he was a great guy. He's a Dwight Stevenson fan. He had a story. There's a story about him when I got ready to go to the University of Alabama. It was during the summer, and my mother and father and my sister and brother, all of us, my dad brought a brand new station wagon, and we were all going to go down, ride down to the University of Alabama from there. It's probably the longest trip that we had ever taken. And so that was on the Sunday we were supposed to leave. And I think I was at the gym walking through the school. The school was closed, myself, Kenny Gillen, and Coach Tyson. And he said, we're going to weight room, just fooling around, just trying to get ready best I could to go down to the University of Alabama. He said, Dwight, he asked me, he said, when do you leave for Alabama? I said, oh, I leave Sunday. And he said, okay, you'll be back Tuesday. he said it jokingly and all that, and I took it as a joke, but I also knew that, it could be some truth there and stuff. I didn't know what to expect at University of Alabama. It's sometimes you think that everyone that goes to the University of Alabama is Superman.
Right.
But just like you go there and you compete and you do the best you can. And I found out quickly, not everybody there, everyone there is Superman. Right. And then I saw some of the guys that I felt they were all American. I'm like, what does that guy did? What is he doing that makes him all American and one of the best players here? And most of those guys, they worked harder than everybody. I mean, every opportunity they had to get better, they would do it. And so I said, well, I can do that. And I did. That's something that I applied to my game and my practice. I became one of the better players there and things worked out well for me there.
So you got there and you saw, it's supposed to be a group of all-stars and you got into the room. Hey, this person really is no better than I am. And I can actually do some things to outshine others as well. And you took advantage of that opportunity. Once again, that was afforded to you.
Right. So
I think, based on what you've already shared with me, a great foundation was laid with you, with your parents, and then even with your educational career, whether it was at Phoenix or Lindsay, and then going into Hampton High too. So I think I know that you took full advantage of everything that was afforded to you, and you made your parents and especially this community proud as well. So what are some of your most memorable moments from your high school playing days?
My high school playing days, probably, beating our rivalry there, which was on the other side of town. That was Bethel. They had beat us the year before. And so this year it was our chance. I mean, we were undefeated and we winning that game right there was something that I do always recall. And it was a hard fought game. And but some of the mistakes we made in the first game when I played against them, I said, I'm not going to make those same mistakes. And I think everybody else on our defense and offense kind of felt as though, hey, we were a pretty good football team. If we don't make mistakes and we don't beat ourselves, then we stand a good chance. And we did. I mean, we went out there, we played well. And that's the thing about it. I mean, I felt as though we enjoyed one another and we worked hard together and stuff. And like I said, not just I get together with some of the other guys that I played with on that team too, and something that, that's really special to me. And then, winning the state championship game against Annandale was a game that was hard for it. And they came from up north there and they felt as though they were a much better football team, much smarter football team and all that. But that was just all that did was give us that much more incentive to go out there and do really, really well against them and stuff. And we did. We were able to win the championship and win that game decisive.
Was that the first championship for Hampton High?
No, it wasn't the first one that Hampton High. I think it's the first one that Coach Smith.
What?
I think it's the first one Coach Smith had.
Okay.
There at Hampton High. And don't quote me, but I think I'm pretty sure that was the case and stuff. So then after that, he just continued to do well.
Yeah, I think so, because I keep hearing it was when we named Woodrow Wilson as the coach, it was stated in, I guess, his write-up that he was a part of the first championship team under Coach Mike Smith.
Right.
So I didn't realize that you were a part of that particular team as well.
Absolutely. Yes, I would. Yep.
So what challenges did you face moving from college to the pros, and how did you overcome them?
Challenges from going from college to the pros was one that, you'd have more discipline going from college to the pros. I mean, you're a grown man. You don't have your coach at the dormitory. You don't have to be in the dormitory at by a certain time. You don't have certain classes to go to. You really have to police and be discipline yourself. And you have responsibility. A lot of guys had families. I had, had children and my wife, that I had to provide for and be there for, and they were there for me too as well. I guess the biggest thing is it's a discipline. You don't have a coach telling you most of the things that you need to do in order to be successful. So
when you joined the Miami Dolphins, you feel prepared for the physical and mental demands of professional football?
Absolutely. I mean, football is a game that is just like anything else. You have to sit down and you have to plan and you have to sacrifice and you have to you got to overlearn. I mean, your situation. I mean, you're talking about, I would hate to be on national TV and go out there and not be sure of what I'm trying to get done. Right. And so when I went into a game, I mean, I didn't want to go out there and guess about what to do or try to figure it out on the field. I want to know, and I done thought through just about as many situations as I think could possibly happen, and then how you're going to handle them. And, you study the game, and then if you do have a bad play, and you're going to have a bad play, you still have to show your class and you have to get ready for the next play and be able to get that one out of your mind and really focus on what you have to get done the next play.
Get about it and be prepared for the next play. Makes a whole lot of sense. So You played under three legendary coaches. You mentioned at Lee Hampton High and then University of Alabama and then the legendary Don Shula. So what was it like playing under Coach Shula, and how did he influence you as both a player and a person?
Yeah, Coach Shula was, I mean, he was probably compared to the other coaches in the league, and he was admired, but he was also, a lot of people didn't necessarily, everybody admired him, and they wondered what was it like to play for Coach Shula. He was more demanding than probably most coaches. But I enjoyed him. I mean, once the experience, you get there and everything, and you know what he wants, he's going to demand a lot of you, and he's going to demand a lot of himself. And I've never seen the guy, anybody work any harder that outworks them. He was a joy to be around and stuff. And then once it was over with, I kind of missed those moments. I'm like, man, you know, they were really some great times and stuff. But they were, at the time, you didn't think there was so much. You really enjoy them as much as you should have. But right. Yeah, I enjoy playing for Coach Shula.
Reflecting on it, you realize how legendary he was and how much of an impact he made on you as well as the Dolphins and the sport as a whole.
Right.
He still goes down in history as the only coach to have an undefeated season and win a Super Bowl. I remember the Patriots thought they were going to do it a few years ago and ended up losing the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that you explained there well there. And he, I mean, he's the winningest coach of all times in pro football.
Yes, sir.
He was a real professional.
Yes, sir. So are there any particular games or plays during your time with the Dolphins that stand out as career highlights for you?
Yeah, you know, it was probably the Chicago Bears. We were playing them again back in 1985. It was they were a really good football team. And
team in 85 with Refrigerator Perry and the crew.
Right, right, that crew. And they were really they were on a roll, and they might have been like 7 or 8-0, 9-0 or something like, maybe 10-0, somewhere in that neighborhood. We were lost one game, maybe two that year or whatever. And stuff, but we were a real good football team as well and stuff. So we met on Monday night, and that was almost like a Super Bowl game. The atmosphere was really charged. And so we go out there, we take the field. But what was kind of really cool that night, I mean, we had Larry Little, Jim Kick, Larry Zonka, all the Mercury Morris, all these legendary Miami Dolphins, they were on the sideline there. And when we came through the tunnel to go on the field, to take the field that night, we had to run past them. And I just thought that was the coolest thing. I mean, somehow at the time I had never met them. So it was a real experience for me too, just to see those guys. And they were cheering us on. And we went out there, and that night, I mean, things went well. I mean, Marino, who's probably the greatest quarterback, one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. I mean, he was on, and we had wide receivers, Nat Moore, Mark Duper, Mark Clayton. I mean, things went really well for us and stuff. And we jumped out, and we pretty much got a score. We scored and got the game going. Before we know it, we had a really good lead, and we won the game. And so they literally were looking to go undefeated. They thought they were that good that they would go undefeated. And we're the only undefeated team that's ever played in the National Football League.
Oh, that was a beautiful thing for the Miami Dolphins to spoil their undefeated season.
Correct. So when we did that and we won the game at the end of the night, and the fans, I mean, it was crazy. It was magical. And then to run off the field and those same guys were over there like clapping their hands for it. You know, the Mercury Morris and the Jim Kidd, yes, and those guys. I thought that was really, really cool and stuff. And
Sean Gale was on the team too.
Who was that?
Sean Gale? Yes.
I think he was. I think he was playing in that night. Yeah.
Yes.
If he wasn't, it was he played around that time. Yes, sir. He's a little bit younger than I am and stuff.
Okay.
And he's a heck of a football player too.
For you all to spoil their undefeated season, I'm sure that is memorable for you.
Yeah, that was a That was something, and like I said, it was really special because
that is the year they went on to win the Super Bowl, though, too, right?
They did. They went on and they crushed New England in the Super Bowl, but won the rest of the games that season. That was the only blemish on their record that year.
That's very pleasing to know, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, as an All-Pro and Hall of Famer, what do you think was the key to your success on the field?
I think it's the key to my success on the field. It really starts with the foundation. I mean, but just being, you know, my parents, and I got to say that they really gave me a good start, and they were great examples for me. And I had good people around me. And I think that's one of the things that's really helped me. And I always hear, even Coach Brian used to say, you know, you surround yourself with good people. And I was fortunate to have good people around me and stuff. And he was telling us that when we got to University of Alabama, Coach Brian is one of those guys really impactful. You think he's mean and tough and rough, and he's that kind of guy. But he has a real soft side to it, because, you know, we go to practice. And man, he'd be on that field, and I'm talking about, we worked. Once you got done with practice, it was like going out and doing something else. If you could do that, their theory was you aren't working, you aren't getting enough work.
You didn't work hard enough.
so they can fix that. So the next day you get that much more work. Yeah. So that you'll be ready to go back to your room, have your dinner, and go back to the room. But no, I'm just joking, but Coach Brian, I mean, we worked, but it was a great experience, and I enjoyed just having good people around. He would take time, he'd be on the field, and you think that he didn't care about anything, and then he would walk through the lunchroom there where we had the dining hall, and he'll stop and say, "Hey, Dwight, you know, is your father still working in the shipyard? Is your mother still this?" And, you know, he's dealing with 120 players and maybe 20 coaches and all, and he wanted you to know that he knew about that he knew about you and stuff. Hey, you know, you're not just a football player recruit. I know about you and stuff. So he
as a person, really as a man, beyond the sport. He cares as a person. Right. Well, that's powerful.
Yeah.
So how did it feel to be inducted into the Hall of Fame? What were your thoughts when you first heard that you were going to be a Hall of Famer?
Yeah. When I first heard it, I would tell you, you know, you rush through football, and before you know it, you've been there for 9 years, and the game is over with, and I'm like, you're wild, you know. And so Pro Football Hall of Fame is something I never dreamed about, and I didn't know what it really took, and I didn't know as much as I knew it was a great, great honor. I mean, absolutely huge honor, and I was proud of the people that were in it. But when they said I was in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I thought I might have been in there with, like, at the time, like, 1,500 people or something.
Right.
And they told me it was only like 100. And when I went in, I was the 194th player to be selected to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I thought it was like a bigger number.
Right.
And I mean, it was just something I never thought possible. But I appreciated it. And, you know, I know I didn't get there by myself. Again, God Almighty and my family. And, you know, I had a lot of help along the way, and the great teammates and coaches. But it's one of those things that I never thought possible. But when I was selected, and then I'm sitting down at the luncheon, and I'm sitting next to my idol, like Carl Eller, Ellen Page, and all these guys that I watched.
Right.
You know, when I was coming up, and Leroy Kelly, Jim Brown. I mean, it was like, it was just unbelievable. And I'm sitting here, and they're asking me a question. I'm talking back to them. I'm like, it was really just an unbelievable moment. I'm just happy to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Blessing in and of itself. And it cemented the fact that you deserve to be there, too. You're sitting around the table with the great ones, and you're one of the great ones, too. So
I appreciate it.
To the hard work that you put in and year out, and for your colleagues to recognize you and have you be acknowledged as a Hall of Famer, that's no small feat. And we certainly are proud of you as a Hamptonian, and even as a Crabber as well.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. So one of the other things, this is not in my notes, but you also were selected Walter Payton Man of the Year, correct?
Right. And
that, to me, that speaks volumes to your character and your philanthropy and your community work and involvement. To me, that is indeed a remarkable honor, too. So you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I will. But before we leave the Hall of Fame, I do want to take the time to mention that, I'm in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but I'm in there also with another great Hall of Famer, and that's Chris Hamburger. He's a Hamptonian. He went to Hampton High. And so it was again, being in there with Chris, I mean, he's a great guy. I kind of wore the number 55 when I was at Hampton High because of him and stuff. And he's just a great linebacker and a great guy.
How many Hampton Crabbers do we have in the Hall of Fame?
Only two. Okay. There's only two. So Chris Hamburger, just a great guy. And I do want to give him the credit and let him, I know he appreciate things too as well.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I appreciate you letting me know that.
Yeah. And then
what position did he play?
He played linebacker, played outside linebacker.
Okay.
Him and Sonny Jurgensen, he played in that era with Billy Kilmer, all those guys. He was just an undersized guy that had a real pop.
Remarkable things. So. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, what was the question?
Walter Payton. Man of the Year Award, because that speaks to your character, your community involvement and philanthropy. And I think that goes along nicely with your athletic prowess. But not just that, they saw you as a man and the positive impact that you made, not just in the profession, but also in the community as well. So that is a remarkable award to be acknowledged for as well.
Thank you. It's one of the most prestigious awards is given out in the National Football field and National Football League. It's an award that, it's two-pronged. It's what you do on the field, but it's also what you do off the field.
Yes.
And from early on, my mother and father, they always been involved in the community, helping and vice versa. When I had the opportunity to, come to the National Football League and then I, getting involved with charities and stuff, I did that. And I enjoy that. I have raised funds and support different charities. And one at that time that I supported was the United Cerebral Palsy, which has to do with kids that sustain like some kind of brain injury, cerebral injury and stuff. And so I supported that and we have raised funds and did things for that organization. I'm still involved with it today. I'm still on the board there and stuff. It's a great, great organization. I think it's the best nonprofit in South Florida. And then we also expanded that. We have the Dwight Stevenson Foundation, which has been around a number of years here and stuff, but we raise funds and we have computers for kids and stuff. A lot of people think that everyone has a computer, and some people have three or four. Some people have the phone, the laptop, the desktop. They have a desktop. They have four or five computers access, and some people don't have them. And then you have kids that have to go out at night, go to the library, wait in line, or to go out there at night, period. And just want the kids to be, and they have to compete. Right. So, in order for them to compete, we try to close the gap, somewhat, make computers available. And then we'll help supply the computers and everything for a organization so they can have a computer center there so that the kids can come there and stuff. But it's something that I enjoy doing, and we have a dinner down here once a year, and we raise quite a bit of funds and stuff, and able to buy things for the kids and for the organization here.
So that foundation helps to provide opportunities and access to young folks who may not have been afforded those sources. So again, that speaks volumes to the community impact, and it shows us why indeed you were selected as Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. And it is, like you mentioned, a very prestigious award, but it speaks to the work that you're doing to make a positive impact in the lives of young people as well. So a couple more before we close out. What advice would you give to current Hampton High students or young athletes who aspire to achieve great things, whether in sports or other fields?
You know, I just say, you know, be prepared to, you know, to put the work in, and it's not always going to be easy, and it's not going to be impossible, believe me. But there's tremendous opportunities out here and stuff. And I think that, you know, given what's going on now with the, especially sports and with the NIL and all that, is something that they need to learn as much as they can learn about it. And, but realizing that that's just one way to make it. College is a great way to kind of prepare for the future, but also, I mean, just be a good person. I mean, whether you go military, whether you do something else, I'm, you know, there's people out there that's willing to help you. And, you know, and you got to help yourself though. And, I say, just enjoy things. It's not going to be easy. You're going to have some tough days, and there's nothing wrong with tough days. You're going to have some things that are going to go really easy, and you're going to say, boy, I should have did this sooner. And, right. But enjoy it all. Enjoy it all.
And you'll be met with some obstacles, but you have to persevere through it. And one of the things you said earlier, too, that stood out for me, surround yourself with good folks. And you surround yourself with a lot of good people and positive folks, then you have nowhere to go but up.
Right. Said that well. Thank you.
Yes, sir. So what do you hope people remember most about you, both as a football player and as a person?
I mean, as a person, I want you feel that, I mean, I did. I care about people. I want to see people do well. I want to help where I can. And what I mean by not making things easy, I mean, I help them. Sometimes you got to give people a little tough love or whatever stuff, but at the end of the day, they can say that I help them and stuff. And I do. I care about people. So that's something that's very important to me. And I don't, you know, and I'm not, you know, you don't have to be humble, but I think you just really have to appreciate things that you got a lot to be thankful for, and people will work with you and help you. You got opportunity, just make the most of them.
Well, I sense a genuine sense of humility and sincerity in your conversation with me today. You're very humble. And knowing that you're a Hall of Famer and a Walter Payton Man of the Year recipient as well, and all the significant accomplishments you have made in your career, both professionally and personally, should not and will not go unnoticed. I certainly thank you for your time here today. I have enjoyed my conversation with you, and I'm sure our listeners will enjoy this podcast as well. But thank you, sir, for your time, and thank you for being a true Hamptonian and taking time to give back and provide some wisdom to our community and beyond.
Okay. Well, I thank you for having me on today, and it's always great to talk to someone from Hampton. I'm telling you, I'll be bragging about you guys, so keep
it going. Yes, sir. Well, thank you so much. And okay. To our listeners, remember, education is the most powerful weapon you can use to change the world. As one community, one transformation, we will ensure academic excellence for every child, every day, whatever it takes. We will catch you next week.
Listen to learn more about Hampton City Schools. New episodes of HCS Talks drop on Thursdays. Subscribe and listen to HCS Talks. HCS Talks is a Hampton City Schools production.